Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. What is truth? In the days when kings and queens and other royalty were prominent in the world, storytellers would use their imagination to create intriguing what-if stories. What if a prince was turned into a hideous beast and could only be transformed by the kiss of a beautiful princess? Now there's a story. Or what if a poor common boy somehow took the place of a real prince? Remember Mark Twain's story, The Prince and the Pauper, where the prince was displaced by a boy of humble origins. I mention it today as a way of appreciating the feast of Christ the King. What was fiction for Mark Twain is the reality of Christ the King. Jesus is the true King of creation. But when he came into the world, he was not recognised as a king or even a prince. Indeed, he lived the hard life of the common people, experiencing what those born without privilege experienced in their lives. Ultimately, he was mocked, mistreated, scourged, and crucified. King Herod did not recognise the true king. Pontius Pilate did not recognise the true king. Jewish authorities didn't recognise the true king. The gospel says the rulers sneered at Jesus. To add to the confusion, Jesus claimed his kingdom is not of this world. Today is the last Sunday of the liturgical year of the church, and it's dedicated to the feast of Christ the King. Now, this recognition of Christ the King first came into the church by the Roman Catholic Pope in the 1920s to acknowledge Christ the King in the face of rising communism across the world. Throughout the liturgical year, we slowly digest the truth about God. We take it in, we assimilate this truth, we make it real in our lives. The liturgical year gives us repeated opportunities to hear the voice of truth, and it flows like this. During Advent, which starts next week, we're encouraged to listen, to wait expectantly for the voice of God summoning us to a deeper awareness of the truth that God has entered human history in the form of a baby in a manger. During Lent, we follow a path of prayer, penance, and self-giving that prepares us to enter the great mystery of Easter. At Pentecost, we renew our belief that the Holy Spirit is active in our world. And in ordinary times, which is the season we have been in over the past 25 Sundays, we seek to appropriate more deeply the great truths of our religion and to find them manifested in the ordinary events of our lives. And then the liturgical year reaches its crescendo in today's feast, the Feast of Christ the King, where we celebrate a new kind of king, a king who is witness to the truth. We have a liturgical year because truth must be sought after, rediscovered and deepened every day of our lives. This truth doesn't remain simply in our minds, but works its way down into our hearts, into our very bones, into every fibre of our being, until we belong so much to the truth that we can say, as St. Paul did, I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who lives, but it is Christ who lives in me. When truth penetrates that deeply, we then become what God intends for each of us to be, great lovers of God and great lovers of our neighbour, whoever they may be. From the moment Jesus was born in the oxen stall in Bethlehem, there's been no one in the history of the world that has made such an impact upon it and caused so many millions of people to follow in his way and teaching, calling themselves Christians. This was the arrival of the long-awaited Messiah, the one the Jewish people had been waiting for to free them from political dominance. You can understand how confused the people listening to this must have felt. Yes, I am a king, but not of this world. What on earth is he talking about? Jesus is king in this world, but it can never be understood to be the criteria of this world. So how is he king? He has no army, just a small group of followers, common people really. He's fought no battle in war. He owns no earthly kingdom. Jesus didn't deny his kingship. After all, he is king of all his Father's creation. But he exercises his kingship in a very different way, the complete opposite to wars and conflicts, by making known the love of God. For this purpose, he came into the world, to make God known, to bear witness to the truth that God is love. And well, we know the very familiar verse, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now that is truth. Jesus is not a king who rules from a royal throne in some earthly palace. Jesus is the king who is lifted up on a cross, drawing all of us to himself, telling us by his actions more than his words just how much he loves us. All who are on the side of truth listen to his voice. In this reading today, Pilate is living a nightmare. He, as judge, is judging the judge of heaven and earth, but he doesn't recognise Jesus for who he is. And he later asks, perhaps in confusion, what is truth? He has a lot of facts in front of him, but facts do not guarantee the truth. And the truth we learn today in this reading is a different matter. So we can't really blame Pilate. There's nothing about this man, Jesus, to suggest that he is a king. Pilate faces a man who bases his claim to kinship not on royal lineage, not on military might, but on something unheard of both then and now. Kingship based on being a witness to truth, nothing else. Pilate was addressing a king, but not the kind of king that he and other onlookers were accustomed to seeing. But still today, there are many who do not understand this truth, many who do not claim Christ as king of their lives, and many who blaspheme against him. There are many who do not see truth for what it is. To put it in a bit of perspective, we can look at it like this. For the past 2 years, many of the world's population have been challenged by what is truth when it comes to the coronavirus and vaccinations. It's confusing when there are many opinions and many voices competing for our attention. And I wonder, can we recognise the voices that are speaking truth and those which are not speaking truth? So who then is Jesus of Nazareth that has been able to expand time to our century and work in our lives today to the same message and attraction, the same tug on us as he had with the crowds when he was sitting on the shore of the Lake of Galilee, sharing stories of loaves and fishes, or amongst the elders and the leaders in the synagogue? Just take a moment and reflect on who this Jesus is for you. The Jesus who is Christ the King. And think about how knowing him has changed your life. What and who were you before you knew Jesus? Has being a follower of Jesus made a difference? Just like to tell two stories. A story of the strength of God's presence in my life and the transforming presence of God in the life of an elderly person. I'm sure you would agree with me that without Jesus in our life, we would be leading a very different life, and even perhaps be a very different person. I doubt I would handle the ups and downs of life well, and I often ponder on the question, what would my life be like if Jesus wasn't in it? There is no answer to that question because I'll never know. But what I do know is I would not trade my relationship, my life with Jesus for anything. So many experiences in what has been a life of great adventure for me, a life of my share of tragedies, a life of battling life-threatening illnesses, and a life of unexpected joys and blessings have all been had with Jesus by my side. I recall, in fact, I will never forget, going down an unshorn mine shaft on a windlass, just being supported by a few strong miners on the opal mining fields of Cooper Pedy in South Australia to rescue a young man who had fallen in and had been there for 14 hours. He was alive but badly injured, and I had to get him out of this 19 metre by 3 metre hole with only room for me to be down there with him. And only by the strength of God with me did I achieve that. In a small book I wrote about my nursing with the Bush Church Aid Society at Cooper Pedy, I wrote in the last paragraph, "There were times when we had to deal with horrific injuries, serious illnesses, and extremely urgent cases to evacuate. It would seem like an eternity between calling the flying doctor's plane and its arrival. It was at times like these and during many, many other incidences that we were able to feel the mantle of protection that came only from God. The babies we delivered without any complications, those little unexplained coincidences that kept going our way, were all due to God working in our lives. All of this was in a remote area hospital in a rough town, just two young nurses and 1,600 kilometres from the nearest doctor. Could I have done it without God? No, I couldn't have. There's only one place your strength comes from when you're dangling over the black deep hole of a mine shaft on a piece of 3x2 on a windlass, and that's from God." An elderly lady I know told me a story from her life, how God came into it and saved her. She said when she was in her 40s, she was a barmaid in a hotel that was inundated at the end of the working day with mostly workmen from the council and tradesmen. "It got a bit rough at times," she would say, "but I could hold my own." She went on to say that she was living with a man for some years, keeping house and in a relationship with him, and then discovered one day that he was married and was living a double life. She was devastated and felt like she was at her wit's end with her life and became very depressed. She knew of God because as a child her mother had always said prayers with her and told her stories of Jesus before she went to sleep. And the family as children were living with a drunk and abusive father. One day, after she found herself homeless following the relationship breakup and in her desperate state, she called out to God, the God who had sustained her mother so many times in her life, and she cried out for a relationship with this God. Here in my 98th year, I can still hear the clear, calm voice of Jesus saying, "You are a child of mine. Reach out and take my hand." She did, and it changed her life forever. Since then, she's become a faithful servant of Christ, a devout Christian, forgiven, restored, and healed. Christ the King holds far more for us than does the earthly wealth of gold and silver and property and dominion of the kings and queens of the earthly kingdoms. He holds the key to life, to being with us in life and granting us eternal life. Jesus is a king who never rose so high that he couldn't see those who were down below. While on earth, Jesus would be seen in places kings seldom go. He would be seen engaging in deep theological conversation with a Samaritan woman who had five husbands. He would be bending down on the ground to be with a woman accused of adultery, leaning in close to her to hear a voice that no one else bothered to listen. He was seen putting a towel around his waist and then kneeling on the floor to wash the disciples' dusty feet. Jesus is a king who never rose so high he couldn't see those who were down low. Even today, Jesus is among people who are in the midst of need through fear and anxiety, or need a blessing of delight. He was there in the catastrophic bushfires, in the floods, on the cold streets with the homeless people, standing with the abused and the people who are passing by, and he is with us in our everyday life. Who is Christ the King? He's the King of Kings, the Lord Almighty, and for me he is, as we sing in that lovely hymn, the King of love my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. The king with hands tied is standing before Pilate, who has the power to condemn him to death or to set him free. Jesus gives us that choice also, to live a worldly life with no future after death, or with a God who sets us free with a life full of hope and eternal future with him. What is truth? Pilate asked. Truth was the person standing in silence before him, the word made flesh that came to live amongst us, who pitched his tent among the people on earth. There are many voices competing for our attention. Can we recognise which of these voices speak the truth to us, and which of these voices are false? What is our prayer as we reflect on these issues? It was Donald Trump who so often used the phrase fake news. I certainly heard that use of words far more during his presidency than before. So how can we tell what is false and fake and what isn't, especially when we are being addressed by leaders? However, it is reassuring and affirming to hear Jesus solemnly proclaim that he was born and came into the world to testify to truth. The truth that God is love, and he loves the world he created so much that he sent his own Son to save us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, King of Kings, let us belong to the truth, listen to your voice and answer you, not with borrowed thoughts or emotions, but with the humility of our heart. May we all become great listeners and great lovers as we celebrate our belonging to the truth on this feast of Christ the King. May we become true, confident witnesses of that truth. Amen.